Podcasting from Dallas, Texas, I am Shireen, and this is the Yumlish Podcast. Yumlish empowers people with chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease to take charge of their health through diet. And this podcast is created to amplify the voices of patients, health professionals, employers, and community members who are working to reduce the risk of these chronic diseases and put your health first. Dr. Lee talks to us about the evidence for food as medicine, what someone with diabetes can eat to manage their condition. He then talks to us about COVID-19 and the right foods to eat to help us fight and reduce the risk of contracting the virus. And lastly, he talks to us about the foods that one can eat if they contract the virus. William Lee, MD, is an internationally renowned physician, scientist, and author of the New York Times bestseller, Eat to Beat Diabetes, The New Science of How Our Body Can Heal Itself. His groundbreaking work has led to the development of more than 30 new medical treatments and impacts care for more than 70 diseases, including cancer, diabetes, blindness, heart disease, and obesity. His TED Talk, Can We Eat to Starve Cancer?, has garnered more than 11 million views. Dr. Lee has appeared on Good Morning America, CNN, CNBC, Rachel Ray, and The Dr. Oz Show, and he has been featured in USA Today, Time Magazine, The Atlantic, and O Magazine. He's president and medical director of the Angiogenesis Foundation. Welcome, Dr. Lee.
Well, thank you, Shireen. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Lee, tell us more about your journey to beat illnesses. How did you make your way to that? What led you to it?
Right. So I'm a physician, internal medicine doctor. I'm a scientist. I study blood vessels. I'm a vascular specialist. And I'm somebody who really enjoys and really finds it important to communicate knowledge about health, not only to patients, but to the public in general, because everyone should try not to be a patient. And the only way to do that is really by taking preventative action. So I sort of started out being internal medicine, which means that I take care of young and old, men and women, healthy and sick. And my goal has always been to try to get people to return back to their health if they were sick. And that's a very different perspective than some, you know, specialists who actually are chasing diseases and that's all they see. In my world, when I put on my spectacles, I really try to look at health and try to figure out how we can all stay healthy or return back to health. For years, I actually took care of patients using some of the very advanced biotechnologies that I helped to develop for cancer, you know, starving cancers by cutting off their blood supply, by helping people with diabetes, but also aging people with macular degeneration, so diabetic eye disease or eye diseases for aging. Some of the treatments that I was involved with actually can now halt blindness, prevent vision loss, and help people become more active, or even wound healing, where people with both type 1 and type 2 diabetes are much more vulnerable to actually having wounds form on their legs because their nerves are compromised. And so they step on the pebble or cut their foot, can't feel it, and there's an impairment of their healing. And so I helped to develop some of those technologies and prove some of the technologies of very modern technologies that could prevent amputation by healing a wound, prevent vision loss by cutting off, preventing blood vessels from leaking in the eye, and even help improve outcomes for people with cancer by cutting off, by starving the cancer, by cutting off the blood supply. And one of the things that I really felt after I saw so many patients that were sick is that we really need to turn the clock back to prevent people from getting sick in the first place. And some of my favorite patients were veterans at the Veterans Hospital. And, you know, these were some of my favorite patients in their 50s and 60s and 70s and even older. They unfortunately tended to be really heavy, morbidly obese, have terrible heart disease, cancer, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, all kinds of ailments you can imagine. And the thing that I was always struck by is how these individuals who were the veterans of our country, when they were in their 20s, were the cut, fit, buff soldiers that couldn't even become a soldier if they weren't in perfect physical condition. So fast forward, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, I asked, what happened? You know, what could turn this perfect specimen into someone who was so filled with illness? And I realized it was diet and lifestyle. And when the patients would all get dressed and leave my office, almost all of them would ask me a question. They would pop their head back in before they left and they'd say, hey, doc, one last thing. What can I do for myself? Is there something I should be eating? And I realized that I was never taught that answer in medical school. I mean, I knew all this other stuff, but I felt like that that lack of information about nutrition was wrong, that we needed to get that answer. And so I went back and took a look at, you know, everything that I know from my science, my research, my innovation, technology, and I realized, you know, we could actually apply the tools that have been used to develop modern medicines and apply them to study food. And so this really led me to be one of the early, you know, real pioneers of food as medicine. The idea is very old, but actually to be able to study food using the same tools as drug development is very, very new. In fact, it's just in its infancy now. But when you study foods and medicine head to head, side by side, in the same testing systems that we use to develop drugs, you know, your jaw drops because you start seeing this incredible activity of foods that really, in some cases, can match what a medicine can actually do. So it gave me newfound respect for our diet. I realized that this was something I really needed to turn my attention to. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years, is really focusing on food as medicine.
And so when we look at food as medicine, and I also want to make a point that I love that you were taking a preventative approach, because medicine is mostly reactive. So I absolutely love that. But talking about food as medicine, how does someone, so what is that code that someone with diabetes needs to create in their lives to combat diabetes through food? I mean, of course, we're not endorsing, you know, drop all your medication, don't do your insulin, you know, but if someone wants to sort of take control of their diabetes and really sit in the driver's seat of their health, what can they do when it comes to food?
Really important question. I mean, the answer is you can do almost everything with food, starting with food. And if you think about type 2 diabetes, it doesn't just come out of the blue. It's really a situation that evolves over years of lifestyle. So, you know, most of us when we're younger, you know, if you go to college and you pull all the nighters and you go out and, you know, have fun with your friend and carousing, look, our bodies can take a lot of damage, but over time, just like driving your car really hard, not taking care of the oil pan, you know, changing the oil, eventually you'll actually get wear and tear. And so I would say diabetes is kind of type 2 diabetes is kind of a wear and tear condition. Let's not call it a disease. Let's call it a condition. And it's something that the earlier we do something to prevent getting into that situation, the better it is, obviously. So some of the basic things, you know, staying at physically active, eating in moderation, I think is a really important thing, whether you before you have diabetes, while you have diabetes, and after you actually reverse diabetes. I'll come back to that in a second. And that's choosing the right foods to eat, so you're not really making a habit of choosing the wrong food. So I got to tell you, disclose something to you, which is that I am not one of those doctors who basically thinks that a healthy diet is about cutting everything out, that eating healthy is about shame, guilt, or fear. I think there's a lot of that around already in the healthy eating community. I think that this is what I always tell my patients: life is for the living. We should really enjoy what we do, and food is so important across different cultures to who we are, our families, you know, our roots, you know, what we feel comfortable with. And so, what I say is that it's really important to be honest with yourself of who you are and what you like. And if you can start with what you already like and choose from the basket, the bread basket of what's healthy for you. This is like a cornucopia, fruits, vegetables, herbs. I mean, a whole bunch of things that are not just By the way, not just veggies. There's a lot of different foods. And in my book, Eat to Beat Disease, I talk about a lot that can help diabetes. They're all healthy types of foods. There's more than 200 of them. If you choose the ones that you relate to the most, and you start with that, then you're already ahead of the game because you're choosing from the things that you like. I think that's number one, the very important approach. Number two, I mentioned this before, is moderation. You know, eating, you know, the adage that many of us grew up with, you know, sort of our moms and our grandmas, you know, hovering over saying, you got to eat more, you know, please have another one. You know, look how skinny you are. Look, you need to eat more. Well-intentioned. But I think that everything we know from research is the less you eat, the better. And so take something you really like that's healthy for you. And what I tell people is, you know, rather than pile your plate with it, we got plenty of food. Start with a third. Just take, you know, so whatever your eye sees, take only a third of it. It's really practical. And then eat it slowly. And your brain will actually teach you how to enjoy what you're eating. So you get, this is why you got to start with what you like, because then you have to, you get to savor it. The more time you get to savor your food and the less you put on your plate, the faster you can get full with the things that you already enjoy. And then it becomes an experience that you actually like. I didn't mention anything yet about really the whole idea of the science behind this, but we know when you limit your calories, for example, and you choose the right foods, in fact, and you stay physically active, which is really important. As a matter of fact, you can, many people, not all, but many, can take a situation like type 2 diabetes, and you can actually normalize or get closer to normal what your blood sugars are. And the reason that that's so important is because, number one, we have the ability to control that. So don't just let the pharmacy deal with it. Don't just let a prescription deal with it. We can do something ourselves. And again, if you start with things that you enjoy and love and value, cherish, and definitely relish, then it's not so difficult to do. And if you can reverse or ameliorate, mitigate, make better your situation with type 2 diabetes, you're way ahead of the game because you don't want to have those terrible complications that I mentioned that I used to see, out of control heart disease, you know, runaway complications of diabetes in terms of kidneys going down, you're losing your eyesight. I mean, can you imagine that the difference between choosing delicious food that can actually, you know, help you live longer and be able to continue to see clearly all the wonderful things that we like to watch in the world, versus losing your vision, having bad heart disease, not being able to move around, and maybe even losing your leg. I talked about wound healing earlier. So this is a series of really common sense things, but I personally believe the message has to start with making people not feel bad about doing the right thing and making people feel like, in fact, they can get something good out of it, which is starting with what they enjoy.
So Dr. Lee, when we look at now given the current climate with COVID-19, are there foods that then you would suggest that can help us fight or even reduce the risk of contracting the virus or complications from the virus?
Right. So COVID-19 is a brand new situation. They call it a novel coronavirus, right? So I want to take the moment first to let your listeners know I'm actually one of the researchers studying coronaviruses, studying COVID-19. So I'm actually doing the research. I'm actually looking at what we're learning. And, you know, we're trying to let other scientists and doctors understand what we're discovering about this virus. So I happen to know a little bit more than many people do. And here's the thing. I want to clear up a few misconceptions. COVID-19 is a coronavirus. And a coronavirus is what actually gives us the common cold. So when people hear that, you know, COVID-19 is like a bad flu, that's actually not accurate because, in fact, this particular, you know, flus are caused by the influenza virus. COVID-19 is caused by the coronavirus. The coronavirus gives us the cold. So not even related to the flu. It's really like, you know, like a really dangerous, lethal, deadly kind of cold. That's one thing. And because it's novel, it means the reason it's so bad, so deadly, so horrific for the world is because it's novel, meaning that in the 200,000 years that humans have been around on this planet, we've never seen, our bodies have never seen this virus. Our immune system's never seen this virus. And so therefore, this is the cough, and we think it started in China, and now it looks like there's another epicenter of a strain of the virus that started in Europe. But this is the cough that brought an entire civilization to its knees. And so what we're all learning from this as we pick ourselves back up, which is what we're doing now, right? We know it's bad. We reacted by kind of sheltering, and now we're coming back at this thing to see how we can actually beat it. And I think that's the thing that everybody should realize is that, you know, humans are pretty tough and we're really smart. So we're coming back at this thing full force. And here's what we know. A good immune system at the gate is really important to prevent this and other viruses from actually entering our bodies. That is the number one, number two, number three thing I can leave your listeners with, is that we have to have a strong immune system. And the rules haven't changed with COVID-19. There are foods that we can eat that actually support our immunity. And they happen to be the same foods that actually help us if we have diabetes. These are foods that have high fiber. If you have diabetes, high fiber actually feeds your gut microbiome, the healthy gut bacteria in your gut. The healthy gut bacteria helps your body be better at metabolizing blood sugar. It helps it use blood sugar better, and so that's a good thing. Turns out that good, healthy bacteria also helps to support your immune system. In fact, some of the more recent discoveries is that about 70% of our immune system is found in our gut, like the layer of jelly in a jelly roll, and the gut bacteria live right next door to it. So you remember, in an apartment or a college dorm, you pound on the wall, you can hear people next door can hear you. And that's basically what the gut bacteria are doing. They're pounding on the wall, and your immune system is saying, hey, who's over there? Oh, it's healthy bacteria. I think we're going to do our job the right way. So fiber is really important, good for type 2 diabetes, good for immunity. Other micronutrients, we know that vitamin D is really important. We know vitamin C looks like it's important. We know zinc is important. We know iron's important. So there are lots of micronutrients that are really important. And here's the thing about the situation with type 2 diabetes. Oftentimes, people who are struggling with this condition are in fact undernourished, even if you're surrounded by food. And so we want to make sure that we're actually taking care of our micronutrients. The best way to do this is to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, because they have the fiber, they have the vitamins, they have the minerals, and that's really the best way to do it. So in some ways, the rules haven't changed. Eating healthy, eating fresh, whole plant-based foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, herbs are all good for you. And they actually can help support our immunity. Now, what's interesting is the latest research, and I read about this in my book, Eat to Beat Disease, is that you can actually boost your immunity even more. And there are some foods that have actually shown that. So, for example, mushrooms of all sorts, and I love mushrooms. I mean, think about all the amazing things that you can do with mushrooms and cook them, prepare them. They could be in a salad. They could be in a saute. They could be in, you know, scrambled eggs. Whatever. You can do millions of things with them, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or whether you're just like a regular, you know, omnivore and eat everything. Mushrooms are great. They actually contain a lot of fiber, and one of the fibers they contain is called beta-glucan, which boosts your immune system. And human studies have shown that eating mushrooms, even white button mushrooms, the lowly white button mushrooms you get anywhere. So this is not difficult stuff. This is not rare mushrooms. This is just like the average kitchen mushroom, right? Can actually create more antibodies in your mucous membranes and your saliva. That's the front line of defense. Think of COVID-19 and other viruses like, you know, people trying to break into your house, burglars trying to break into your house. If you've got a good alarm system, a strong door, a good lock, that's basically what you want. And that's where these antibodies actually come from. So mushrooms are one of these things that can shore up your front lock, the lock on your door. Really useful. Another one that's really quite amazing is that can really also help shape that front door, the gate, is cranberry juice. Now, not the super sugar sweetened stuff. Forget about that. go for the real cranberry juice. So you can't really drink a lot of it because it's kind of sour. But you can mix it with other juices, you know, like a pomegranate juice or something, and it's not so bad. You got to be careful because there's a lot of natural sugar in some of these juices. But what happens is that the immune system responds to the natural dyes that are in cranberries, and they actually cause your body to your immune cells to actually rear itself up, boost your immunity right in the areas of your mucous membrane where you want to actually shore up immunity. Broccoli sprouts actually also help you fight off viruses. It's been shown, even if you get a flu vaccine, again, this is not flu, but even when they test a flu vaccine, if people had a smoothie made with broccoli sprouts, so just think about it. You know, you take, you know, your favorite green juice mix and throw some broccoli sprouts into it. This is around the time of the year you can get broccoli sprouts and grow them yourself. They're the 3 to 4 day old baby broccoli, kind of nutty flavor, and grind them up. And if you drink just one, just two cups of that a day, it ramps up your antivirus defense systems like 20 times. So really, really significant. This has all been studied in the humans. So again, you know, these are just some small tips. There's a ton of tips that I wrote about in my book, It Could Be Disease, that, you know, readers can get, and there's a 200 foods you can choose from. But the bottom line is that in the era of COVID-19, the rules haven't changed. You want to be able to eat smartly. That would be helpful for your body to help your body perform its metabolism better. So if you've got type 2 diabetes, you're struggling with that, this will actually help you get that under control, choose the foods that you like, and you can also boost your immunity and support, you know, the lock on your door, so to speak, to prevent those viruses from gaining entry into the house that is your body.
And would you say the same for someone who's already contracted the virus, pretty much stick to the rules?
Right. Well, so here's what's interesting. If you've already contracted the virus, and we probably don't have time today to kind of dive too deeply into all the details of what we're learning about how the virus works, but suffice it to say that, you know, this is a respiratory virus. So you breathe in your nose and your immune system tackles it right in your nose. And so the battle is mostly fought at the beginning right there, and it could be finished right there. So you get a little cold, not a big deal, and you'll never really get sick. But if the virus actually somehow breaks in the door and you don't have your German Shepherd, you know, after the lock on the door to go after them, and then, you know, you don't have all the home defense stuff all set up, basically the virus can get into your lungs and cause big problems. One of the problems that it causes, even as your body is trying to fight off the virus, is inflammation. And so what I would say is, and this is a commonly misunderstood aspect of immunity. A lot of people in nutrition say, you know, your immunity is inflammation. So you want to get rid of inflammation bad, and so therefore you want to have sort of immune-lowering things. Some people even say that, you know, COVID is an autoimmune disease. It's not. It's an infectious disease. Your body tries to get rid of it. And many people actually don't get that sick, and their bodies do get rid of it. So you want a good, strong immunity. What happens, though, is that when the virus invades your lungs, it gets into your blood vessels, and then your immune system is just trying to get rid of the virus. It's doing its job. It is performing its job. But because your blood vessels and other tissues are in the way, the virus is sneaky. It's kind of hidden inside the bushes. And so if you're trying to, you know, get rid of, I mean, imagine if, like, you have a beautiful garden and you've got these pests that have kind of like burrowed their way into your flower. If all you want to do is get rid of those pests, you're going to chop up your flowers. And that's basically what winds up happening with inflammation. You get this huge amount of inflammation in your body. So what I would say, if you have been infected, tested positive with COVID-19, you know you're sick, you test positive, and testing is really important to do. You should try to have foods that lower immunity. Inflammation, not immunity. You want lower inflammation. You want to boost immunity and lower inflammation. Two really good things that can do that. But foods containing vitamin C are really good at that. Now, if you don't want the super sweetness and sugar of, like, for example, orange juice, a great source of vitamin C that's not so sweet is a kind of a modestly sweet fruit like guava. It turns out guava, which is not very sweet at all, actually has way more vitamin C than an orange does. So that's a good little swap that people with diabetes can actually make. The other thing is green tea has been shown to keep your immune system functioning, but lower inflammation. Okay, and this has been shown, by the way, with people who have lupus, which is an autoimmune disease. And people who drink green tea and have vitamin C, actually, they have much lower flares. And so if your body's fighting the infection, what you want to do is to feel better, prevent damage, is to do things that lower inflammation. So, and I think that an example of things that you can eat would be tea, vitamin C containing foods. By the way, tomatoes is another great source of vitamin C. So tomato juice, tomato paste, tomato sauce, salad tomatoes. There's a lot of ways you can actually get input of tomatoes. And then the other thing I would tell you is, although not everybody will like, not everybody eats seafood, really good oily fish, which is found in many cultures, right? So pretty much any culture that lives by the sea has some tradition of fish or shellfish in their diet. It contains omega-3 fatty acids. And if you don't eat fish, you can take a supplement that contains marine omega-3s. That's also lowers inflammation. So I would say, you know, focus on raising your immunity all throughout. If you're sick with the virus, do eat foods that can actually lower inflammation, and you'll be sort of on your way to doing whatever you can without medicines. We don't have a treatment yet. We don't have a vaccine yet. So food really becomes our medicine, right? So this is back to the earlier point that we were discussing. Food is our medicine. We take it 3 times a day. The difference between, you know, pharmaceuticals is that we prescribe our own food as medicine. So it's up to us, you know, like we're the kitchen doctor, so to speak.
I love that. So with that, Dr. Lee, how can people learn more about your work and more about the book?
Right. My book, Eat to Beat Disease, is available anywhere where books are sold. Since you can't go to a bookstore now, on any of the online sellers like Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, you can get it there. I'm also really trying to provide more information on my website, which is drwilliamlee.com. So drwilliamlee.com. And if you sign up, subscribe for free. I actually am providing a shopping list, a shopping guide. And so, you know, these days, if you go to the market, you don't want to spend a lot of time there. And what I've done is I've actually gone into my book and pulled out the foods that you would encounter when you go into a grocery store. So you can kind of check it out ahead of time, pick out the ones that are healthy that you love, and just kind of like make a beeline and start picking things up so you can get, you know, so you can get out of the store as quickly as possible. So that's one thing you can do. And also I'm on social. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. I'm at Dr. William Lee, Dr. William Lee, and would love to be able to, you know, help out, communicate, serve as a resource to everybody and anybody who is not just struggling with diabetes, but also thinking about what do you do with type 2 diabetes in the era of COVID? How do we actually, you know, not just focus on one thing, but really one disease, but really focus on our overall health? And I think that's where it comes down to food as medicine, and that we can actually eat to beat disease.
Okay. So with that, thank you so much, Dr. Lee, for your time. I feel like this could have been a 2-hour interview.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Yumlish podcast with Shireen. If you like our show and want to learn more, you can find information at yumlish.com. You can also leave us a review here. We will see you at the next one. And remember, your health always comes first.